The text for the preaching this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, from verse 38 to verse 42. Luke 10, from verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So far the reading of our text. We now listen to the preaching of the gospel, and afterwards we sing together Psalm 107, stanzas 1, 2, 8 and 12. Psalm 107, 1, 2, 8 and 12. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, Xinran Xu is a Chinese writer. In one of her articles published in The Economist, Xinran described a visit to a family in outback China about 3 years ago. Quote, "We had scarcely sat down," Xinran wrote, "when we heard a moan of pain from the bedroom next door. The cries from the inner room grew louder and then stopped. There was a low sob, and then a man's voice said accusingly, 'Useless thing.' A few moments later, Xinran saw some movement in a bucket behind her. She saw a tiny foot poking out of the bucket, still moving, and then she realized that the midwife must have dropped the baby alive into the garbage can. Horrified, Xinran tried to save the baby, but she was too late. When Xinran reported this episode to the authorities, everybody shrugged their shoulders. Nobody cared. 'It's not really a baby,' people told her, 'only a girl. And girls don't count.' Somebody explained to her that raising a daughter is like watering your neighbour's lawn. You bring up your daughter, but another man takes her away. And by this same reasoning, brothers and sisters, by the reasoning that girls don't matter, in India, in the 1980s, doctors began to advertise ultrasound scans for pregnancy with the slogan, 'Pay $100 today and save $10,000 tomorrow.' It costs you $100 today for an ultrasound and an abortion if it's a girl, saving you the cost of raising a daughter, also saving you $10,000 for a dowry. And now, what's the result of all this messing about? Well, in a normal society, the ratio of boys to girls is about 103 boys, or maybe 105 boys, for every 100 girls. And this is God's wonderful design. Just a few more boys die in infancy and in childhood. And so God has designed it that a few more boys should be born than girls. But with ultrasound technology and abortion, in many communities in China and in India, 150 boys are being born for every 100 girls. And the effect, society is becoming more and more violent. Governments have to become more and more oppressive because so many men cannot settle down. They cannot raise families because there are not enough girls to go around. These horrible things happen when societies do not respect and protect their smallest children and also their women. So what about us, brothers and sisters? It is often said that Christians put women in a lower place than men. It is often said that Christians do not respect women. They cannot serve as office bearers in the church. Married women have to submit to their husbands. Some Christians think that women should not read too widely or think too deeply about theological issues. Many Christians say that women who know less make better wives. Of course, we might not agree with this reasoning, but surely this kind of reasoning would lead to men sitting in the living room, talking about theology and other important matters, while women are working in the kitchen, making coffee, preparing lunch. And therefore, we should all notice, beloved congregation, we should all notice that the Lord Jesus, in our text, says that Mary, who is listening to Jesus, she has chosen the better part. Better to listen to Jesus than to work in the kitchen. Better to be busy with the Word of God than to peel potatoes or serve cake. I preach to you this morning the gospel of your salvation under the following theme: the Lord Jesus Christ encourages every Christian to sit down and learn theology from him. We pay attention to 3 points: why Mary and every Christian must learn theology, how Mary and every Christian comes to appreciate theology, and how Mary and every Christian puts theology into practice. The Lord Jesus Christ encourages every Christian to sit down and learn theology from him. We see first why Mary and every Christian must learn theology. Now Jesus comes to a village where Martha opens her home for him. We read in verse 38. Martha is very obviously the lady of the house. And so most commentaries assume that Martha must be a widow. Her house must have belonged to her husband and come to Martha after he died. Because otherwise, Lazarus would be the man of the house. Our text leaves us in no doubt. This is Martha's home. She is in charge, and to her credit, she takes her responsibility seriously. She provides meals for Jesus and for everybody who is traveling with him. Now, from the Bible stories which we have learned at home or at school, we might have the impression that Martha was constantly busy in the kitchen while Mary did nothing. In fact, many people see Mary and Martha as representing two different types of women. Women who think and women who serve. Some people who classify themselves as Martha types, they care passionately for people who are sick or lonely. Those Martha types cook and bake, provide hot meals and plates of biscuits to brighten up the day for people who are lonely or who have special needs. A typical Martha has no use for theology. She sees herself as a practical Christian instead. Mary, on the other hand, Mary is more at home in the world of ideas. She loves a book, a discussion. She wants to be stimulated intellectually. And so, making her house a safe haven for her children and a warm place where strangers feel welcome, that is not so important for Mary types. Many people see Mary and Martha as representing two different types of women. And many women identify more with one than with the other. But if this is how we see Mary and Martha, brothers and sisters, our text says something slightly different. Literally, Luke tells us that Martha had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what Jesus said. And so the picture that we should have is this. No, not as if Martha is always listening. Sorry, as if Mary is always listening and Martha is always running around. No, instead, Martha and Mary, they are both listening for a while. But then Martha is distracted by all the preparations that have to be made. Martha listens to Jesus, but in the middle of listening, she thinks about the next meal and she goes back to the kitchen. But Mary is different because she stays at Jesus' feet. Mary is different because she keeps on listening. A few more minutes, an hour, we don't know. But we do understand. After a while, Martha becomes impatient. Perhaps she first asked Mary to help her. Perhaps she even asked Mary to help her a second time and a third time. But Mary is too busy listening to Jesus. And so Martha speaks to the Lord. She says, "Excuse me, Lord, I am trying to get a meal ready, and I could use some help around here. I asked Mary to help me, but she won't listen to me. So, will you tell her, Lord? Tell her that she must give me a hand." And then Jesus answers Martha. Jesus tells Martha that while Martha is spending some time listening to Jesus and some time working in the kitchen, while Mary is spending less time in the kitchen, but more time listening to Jesus, Mary has chosen the better part. Better to spend more time with the Word of God than to spend more time in the kitchen preparing meals. So what do you think, brothers? Brothers, does this sound scary? When you get home after church this morning, if you sit down on the couch, and if you expect your wife to go to the kitchen and to make coffee and get cake, if your wife would remember what I just said, and if your wife would choose to stay in the living room and talk to your children about the sermon, what would you do, brothers? I sincerely hope that you would not immediately go to the kitchen and make coffee yourself. Oh, you should do that sometimes, of course. But the point today is not that husbands should make more coffee and give their wives more time to sit. That's not the point. Instead, the point is that talking about a sermon, talking about the Word of God, talking about the work of God, is more important than coffee and cake. And if you think that theology is only for ministers and elders, or only for men perhaps, If that's what you think, you should understand that theology is your relationship with God. Theology is the gospel. The gospel is theology. Theology is God's love, God's mercy, God's grace and forgiveness. Theology is also our hope and the reason why we do our daily work. And that's why. When one of our little children is playing with a doll, perhaps, and if it should happen that the doll should lose an arm or a leg or even the head, if one of our children should ask us, "Is my doll gone to heaven?" By that question, God is opening a door for us to teach our children some theology. Or if the dog dies, when the children ask whether a dog has got a soul, yes or no, whether there are going to be dogs in heaven, again, we have an opportunity to teach our children some theology. So often, brothers and sisters, so often we talk about God to our children when it suits us, at the supper table, for example, when we think it's the right time. But when our children have often been sitting still for long enough and they've got different things on their minds at that moment, that's why we don't connect. But Jesus says in our text, if you drink your coffee now or in half an hour time, who cares? If you have supper at 6 or at 7, who cares? Mary and Martha have got an opportunity now to listen to Jesus and to learn his teaching right now. That is most important. Jesus says, put that first. And if you don't think about theology very much, brothers and sisters, if you don't think about theology very much, then I can only ask, does God really have an important place in your life? I remember recently watching a movie about the Second World War. It was a brutal movie, full of violence and pain and death. Throughout the movie, I could not stop asking myself, how does God fit into this picture? Why was it necessary for it to go this horrible way? And also, throughout the movie, the name of God was used repeatedly. And that forced me to do some serious theology. If God is brought into the picture of the suffering and the pain of World War II, that's a good thing, isn't it? But if these actors who are playing in the movie, if they are unbelieving, when they use the name of God, surely they are blaspheming, are they not? And so should I be watching that picture? To ask these questions is to do theology. Another example, just before Christmas, some of us enjoyed listening to the Messiah, or perhaps even singing the Messiah. But if some of those people who were singing in that concert were professional musicians, even unbelieving professional musicians, when they sing, are they not blaspheming? Or when I listen to a professional recording on a CD of unbelieving singers, are they not blaspheming? When we ask ourselves these questions and many other questions besides, then we ask ourselves as well, what am I doing? How can I be doing this? And then our answers to these questions and the choices that we make in our lives, it's all theology. Because it all depends. Who is God? What makes God happy or angry? Every time we turn on the television, we need to ask ourselves these questions. And if we explain to our children why we accept this, but why we stay away from that. If we explain to our children why we live the way we do and why they should follow our example, when we explain to our children, we teach our children that Christianity is not all about rules and regulations. Then we teach them that salvation from sin is not because we keep certain rules and we don't observe other practices. Brothers and sisters, if we want our children to serve God from the heart, then we have to talk theology. Then we have to treat every question that our children ask as an opportunity to teach them about God, about theology. If they want to spend money on something, ask them what God says about money. Ask them, does God care about money? To know God, to understand some theology, that's important, not just for professors and ministers and elders. It's important especially for dads and mums. It's more important. It's much more important than making good coffee or peeling potatoes any time. In our second point, we will now consider how Mary and every Christian comes to appreciate theology. When Mary chooses to listen to Jesus instead of working in the kitchen, Jesus says that Mary is making the better choice. But then we ask, how long should Mary and Martha listen to Jesus before they get up and cook? How much theology do Mary and Martha need to learn before they can close their Bibles and prepare lunch? And this is a question we all ask, brothers and sisters. But usually we ask this question in different words. We ask, how important is it that I open my Bible at supper time and read my Bible? Or I ask myself, how important is it that I go to Bible Study Society this evening? Or that I attend church this Sunday? We ask, how important is it really that we send our children to catechism classes or to Christian schools? And then we can discuss what is more important, having the money to send our children to Christian school, or perhaps having our moms stay home to look after the children. What's more important? When Jesus says that Bible study is more important than making coffee in the kitchen, we can ask, and we should ask, how we ought to apply that rules in our lives. And now, if we want to debate these questions, Mary and Martha discover soon enough that these questions are meaningless pie in the sky. Because what happens? Suddenly, their world comes crashing down. Suddenly, their brother Lazarus becomes sick. Not a super big deal, of course, because Jesus is their friend, and Jesus can make sick people better. So Mary and Martha send messengers to Jesus. They ask Jesus to come quickly to make Lazarus better. What a friend they have in Jesus. But Jesus does not come. Instead, Jesus stays where he is for another 2 days. Imagine what Mary and Martha must be thinking. They are watching their brother die, and they believe that Jesus can make him better. They are praying desperately that Jesus might come quickly, come back on time to save Lazarus' life. But Jesus coolly does not come. Jesus chooses to let Lazarus die instead. Ask, and you will receive, Jesus taught them. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. But when Mary and Martha pray, Jesus does not answer. Jesus chooses to disappoint Mary and Martha instead. And so, when Jesus finally shows up in Bethany after Lazarus has died, Martha comes to Jesus and she asks, "Why? Why?" And Mary says to Jesus, "If you would have come here earlier, it could have been so much different." Both Mary and Martha, they are asking the theological question, why? Why, Jesus? Why did you heal so many people out there? So many people who were not your friends? But why did you let Lazarus die? Why, Jesus? Why did you hear the prayers of so many other people? But why did you ignore our prayer? For Mary and Martha, these are questions. And these questions have no answers. Because when they ask Jesus these questions, how does Jesus answer? Jesus, the good shepherd who loves his sheep. Jesus, the good shepherd who really loves Mary and Martha and Lazarus. How does he comfort Mary and Martha when they ask these questions and when they cry? The fact is, beloved congregation, that Jesus does not give any answer. No explanation at all. No answer at all. Instead, Jesus sits down and he begins to cry. The Son of God, the Saviour of the world, has got no answers, no comfort, no hope, nothing to say at all. Instead, Jesus wept. And now we understand, brothers and sisters, now we understand why in our text the Lord tells Martha that listening to Jesus is more important than making coffee or peeling potatoes. Now we understand in our text the Lord already knows that Mary and Martha will soon experience pain. Mary and Martha will soon shed tears. They will lay awake at night asking themselves why. In our text, Jesus knows the future. And Jesus understands that Mary and Martha will soon be asking the question, my God, why have you forsaken me? And because Jesus knows that all this is going to happen. In our text, Martha is busy in the kitchen cooking dinner while Jesus is teaching. And then many people, they might hear Jesus teaching and they might yawn and they might say, this is all boring theology, we don't need this. But we understand from John chapter 10 that in our text, Jesus is already busy preparing Mary and Martha for disaster. Jesus is busy preparing Mary and Martha for the heartbreaking crisis which the Lord knows they will soon be facing. And what Jesus says in our text, Martha, what Jesus says in our text, Martha, after you have fallen out of the boat, it will be too late then to learn to swim. After an airplane has crashed, it will be too late then to learn to use a parachute. So like a wise man learns to swim before he goes on a boat, and so he prepares himself for possible disaster in the future. In the same way, Jesus wants every Christian to know that we need to learn to know Jesus now. We must read our Bibles today. We must discover now what he promised Abraham and find out what he did for Moses and David. Discover how good and gracious and merciful and powerful and righteous the Lord our God is. Today, it might all seem like boring theology. And today, we might imagine that we would be better off being busy with other things. But now, we need to prepare ourselves spiritually for times of trouble and disappointment. In our text, God is preparing Martha. God is urging her to come to know him now, because now she has got the opportunity. God urges us all to train ourselves to live in faith, and to do that when life is still comfortable, when there is still no pressure, because we never know when we will need it. Oh, beloved congregation, when we face serious challenges in life, when we are disappointed with God and we don't understand why he is doing these things to us, then we appreciate the theology that we learned when everything was still easy. So starting today, let us renew our commitment to read our Bibles, to study our confessions, and to grow in our knowledge of our Lord and Saviour. That's our second point. In our third point, we will now see how Mary and every Christian puts theology into practice. Very briefly, there is one more story about Mary in the Gospels. In the week before Jesus died, Jesus came to Bethany again, and Jesus had another meal in Martha's house. And again we read that Martha was serving. But what was Mary doing? Mary took a pint of nard that was worth about a year's wages, and Mary poured that out over the Lord's feet, and then she wiped his feet with her hair. The disciples rebuked Mary. They told her that she was being wasteful. Why couldn't she be more normal like her sister Martha? But again, the Lord defends Mary. Again, the Lord says that Mary has got it right, and they have all got it wrong. And now, of course, this is not really a competition between Mary and Martha, brothers and sisters. Neither is it a competition between men and women. But in all the Gospels, we find just one person who listened to Jesus' teaching. And that is the person who understood that it must be as Jesus said. He must suffer and die. He must bear the wrath of God to save his people from their sins. Mary is the only person in all the Gospels of whom we read that she understands that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Mary understands. And why does she understand? Because the Holy Spirit opened her heart, of course. But how did the Holy Spirit do that? Well, while Martha was busy preparing dinner, while Mary was busy listening to Jesus, the Holy Spirit worked in Mary's heart. The Holy Spirit gave Mary faith so that later, in the dark hour of Mary's life, when Lazarus died, then Mary put it all together and she concluded that Jesus was the Son of God. Because Mary listened to Jesus' teaching, Mary grasped the awesome fact that Jesus is her Lord, her Saviour. And then afterwards, in John 12, Mary was so overwhelmed by this reality that nothing was too much for her. Indeed, she could not do enough for her Lord, her Saviour. She spent a pile of money, a whole year's wages. Who knows where she got it from? And who knows how little she still has left afterwards? And who knows what her brother and her sister might have said about it? But Mary, she bought $50,000 worth of very expensive perfume, and she poured it all out over the Lord's feet. But Mary chose to anoint the Lord's feet and not his head. That can be explained by the fact that Jesus was lying with his head toward the table, and so it was easier to get to his feet. But John also mentions that Mary poured oil on Jesus' feet, and then Mary wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. Twice, John mentions the Lord's feet to stress the reverence, the respect that Mary had for her Lord. Never did the Lord dwell more gloriously among men than at this banquet. Nowhere else was the response of faith in Jesus and the love for Jesus displayed in such a bountiful way. $50,000 worth of oil over his feet in a moment. Mary gave God everything because Mary knew vaguely how much God was doing for her. And this brings us back to our text for this morning, brothers and sisters. Why should Mary listen to Jesus? What should Mary learn from him? What Jesus is talking about, is that really relevant for her daily life? Is it going to change the way she lives? We would ask these questions. And if we could not see that the Lord's teaching was relevant to our life, we would say, why bother? We got better things to do. Martha also thinks that making a cup of coffee or preparing dinner is more important than listening to Jesus. But in John 12, we discover what Mary has learned from Jesus talking that has changed her heart. It has changed her whole life. At least, it made her spend her money quite differently. Learning theology has changed Mary completely from the inside out, so that now she loves Jesus and she's taken a whole year's wages and poured it all out over the Lord's feet. So how powerfully, how dramatically learning theology has changed Mary. This is the reason why in our text Jesus tells Martha that she should be doing what Mary is doing. This is the reason why in our text Jesus tells Martha, right now the best thing for you to do is to listen to me talk. Martha doesn't understand why. Mary doesn't know why either. But Jesus knows why. Because Jesus knows that soon the dark clouds will gather over Bethany. Soon Lazarus will die. And then Jesus will not be there for Mary and Martha. For Mary and for Martha, that will be devastating. In those days of sorrow and grief, Mary will be better prepared, better equipped than Martha to face the challenge. Brothers and sisters, coming to know God in the good times, that's the best way to prepare ourselves for the tough times. Finally, in our third point, we saw that Mary puts her theology into practice. Mary believes that Jesus is the Son of God, the Saviour of the world, on his way to the cross to pay for her sins. And Mary responds. She responds wholeheartedly. She is prepared to give Jesus everything that she has. And that is faith. That is gratitude that comes from reading our Bibles, listening to God and knowing God. O people of God in Chilliwack, let us worship our Lord and Saviour. Let us praise Him with our hearts, with our songs, with our money, with our time. Let's praise Him with our whole lives. He has done so much for us. Let's learn to know Him so we can really learn to serve Him and praise Him. May our Lord and Saviour hold on to us in this coming week and keep us close to Him our whole lives long. Amen.